Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." This is what they said to the cripple. "Look at us." So he, the cripple, gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That's the point of the gift of healing of the Holy Spirit, according to the Great Commission of Mark chapter 16, verse 18, where it says, "And they will lay hands on the sick," meaning the disciples and the apostles, "will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover," meaning the sick will recover. In this case, this guy wasn't sick. He was a cripple from birth. And the Lord had mercy on this man, okay? Not only did God have mercy on him, but God used this man to show off his own glory and power. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, had healed this man. And if you notice, in verse 10, it says, "And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened," because they knew this guy. They've seen him for years begging alms, right? And so God used this man for Peter to minister the gospel, for the Holy Spirit to orchestrate Peter and John on the scene to preach the gospel. Because that's how the Lord operates, amen? He'll give us an anointing, a gift to use. And he will orchestrate people on the scene, orchestrate a way for us to minister the gospel message of salvation of Jesus Christ, amen? Hallelujah. And even in the midst of great multitudes, not just one-on-one. And that's the point of signs, wonders, and miracles. If you remember back in Matthew chapter 10, it says that when you go out to minister, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what signs are about, to show people that the kingdom of God is near them. It's at hand. Okay? Wonders is meant to make people wonder, like, okay, what is this about? You know, what's going on here? So it grabs people's attention. And miracles such as this brings people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the Messiah. Okay? And the only way to salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we see here in the same passage of Scripture that Peter and John ministers the gospel of salvation. Okay? Hallelujah. Because these people were wondering, they were amazed, and they wanted to know, okay, by whose authority did you do this? And then Peter, of course, answers the question. So signs, wonders, and miracles brings people to question. Amen? And like I said, the gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So this is biblical in every way. Not just for just yesterday, but also for today. Amen? Let's read that real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 4, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Holy Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He, meaning God, wills. And it's God's will for all to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? That's God's will, first and foremost, is for all to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to be saved, amen? Saved from what? From our sins, from the wrath of God, which is hell. God doesn't want us to go there, amen? God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. But people are because by their own choices and ignorance, because they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, amen? But we read here that that is the will of God, for all people to come to the knowledge of God by signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it tells us that Jews look for signs and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, amen? Hallelujah. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, tells us, let's read that. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or with wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and of power, meaning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, amen, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, right? Hallelujah. Why? Because Jews look for signs, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, amen? And Jesus said in the Great Commission of Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow those who believe, right? Peter simply just laid hands on this cripple, and the Lord healed him, to bring people to be amazed and wonder, you know, what's going on here? See, that's the whole orchestration of the Holy Spirit to preach this gospel. We're just vessels and tools of the mighty hand of God, amen? Praise the Lord. And that's the point of signs, wonders, and miracles, to draw all men unto the Lord Jesus Christ, draw all peoples unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And of course, the Bible also tells us that even though they see, they still don't understand. They're still blind. It's all by choice. Let's continue to read. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed, okay, because of the signs, wonders, and miracles. See, it's drawing people's attention. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" See, it's not by their own godliness or power. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is by God's mercy and grace. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. Pontius Pilate he's referring to. When he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Now he's referring to how Jesus was crucified. Amen. Referring to Luke chapter 23. Now let's go back and read. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Meaning in the name of Jesus, this man who was crippled was healed. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Meaning Jesus healed this man. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance as you did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now he's preaching the gospel that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to repentance. Okay? Because he'll give you the Holy Spirit to keep in the fruits of repentance. Amen? That's what he's proclaiming here. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Now he's going back to the Old Testament prophecies of Moses' day, amen, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you remember back that the teachings of the Lord Jesus, when he taught his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection from the grave, from the dead, according to Acts chapter 1, hallelujah, I'm sure his teachings were still fresh in his mind concerning Jesus Christ of the Old Testament. So here we see Peter referring to the Old Testament to prove that Jesus is the Son of God to the Jews. Amen? And we continue to read. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Why? Because Jesus has the power to do that, to turn people from their iniquities. Amen? For those who decided to choose to follow after Jesus Christ, I guarantee you will not be disappointed. When you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow the Lord, forsaking all the sinful ways and patterns of this fallen world, I guarantee you will not be denied. You will be satisfied by the presence of the Lord always. Amen. Because Jesus has the power to turn people away from iniquity. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Amen. Why? Because the word of God was preached, signs and wonders and miracles were performed through the power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim and testify that Jesus is who he claims to be when he was on this earth, amen, and whom the apostles and disciples claims as witness of the truth, amen. Therefore, they believed. Hallelujah. That's the point of signs, wonders, and miracles. And not only that, but we need those signs, wonders, and miracles today. We need to be seeking the Lord for Pentecost. Seeking the Lord for that same kind of anointing to be effective on this earth for the kingdom of God, to point the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're witness to the fact that Jesus came into this world by the virgin birth, died for our sins, risen from the dead on the third day through the Holy Spirit. And we need the same signs, wonders, and miracles. We still need the same activity, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to be used by God, just like in the days of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. But he's looking for faithful people. He's looking for people who are willing. Amen. Just like the apostles and disciples back in the days of the book of Acts. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Ananias the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's a fact. What's interesting about Jesus Christ, he wasn't just onto something, as I've heard some people claim. Okay? He proclaimed to be the only way, the truth, and the life, and the only way into the kingdom of heaven, the only way to know the Father. Okay? And that's in John chapter 14, verse 6. For Jesus says boldly and loudly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can know the Father except through me. Jesus also proclaims to be the gate to the sheep's pen, according to John chapter 10. And I encourage you to read that. That's a very important scripture to read as new converts of Jesus Christ, or those who've been in this walk with the Lord a long time. We need to reread that. That's an important scripture to read. And I pray that it gives you much revelation. Hallelujah. But Jesus proclaims to be the gate to the sheep's pen, the gateway to heaven. And then we see a connection between John chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And let's read that. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are a few who find it. Now Jesus proclaimed to be the gate to the sheep's pen, the gate to heaven. Why? Because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And the only way to know the Father is through him. Therefore, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to eternal life. And there are a few who find it. Jesus is that gateway. He proclaimed that and even said, before Abraham was, I am. No other person on the face of the earth ever proclaimed to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah. No one ever claimed to be the only way into heaven. Only Jesus ever proclaimed that in all the history of humanity. And we bear witness to this fact through the Holy Spirit. And God cannot lie because it's not in his nature. The Holy Spirit cannot lie because hence his name, Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And so here is Peter proclaiming that exact fact. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Hallelujah. And Philippians chapter 2 even proclaims this to be fact as well. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And if you're wondering, who is he referring to? And it says in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, or Yeshua, that's the Hebrew name, Yeshua, Mashiach, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, everyone will bow one way or another, either on this earth or in heaven. But all will bow, from Adam to the last person on earth, at the day of judgment, will bow to Jesus Christ and will confess that Jesus is Lord one way or another. It's best to do it here. Because on this earth it counts. Because when you stand before the Lord in judgment, and you will bow the knee, everyone will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For those who didn't know him on earth, it will be too late. Because there is no repentance on the day of judgment, when we stand literally face to face with God. That's why we have to repent here on earth, because that's what counts here, not on the day of judgment. As Jesus had proclaimed to Thomas, it's good for those who have seen me and believed, but blessed are those who have not seen me yet believed. Let's reread on. Hallelujah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, meaning they stood up against the Pharisees, Yeah, and was proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that they could have been killed right then and there. Because why? These same Pharisees also killed Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So knowing, at least it was in their minds, at least, that they might be killed in the same manner that Jesus was. Because they were proclaiming Jesus to be the Son of God whom they killed. Amen? The Messiah, whom they did not recognize. And so they spoke with boldness, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, that they marveled. They sound like they were educated men, but they realized they weren't. Okay? And so they marveled at their knowledge of the Scriptures. Okay? Because why? Peter was quoting the Old Testament Scriptures. That's all they had back in those days. This was before the New Testament was written and completed by the hands of the scribes and the apostles, who were witnesses of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Death, resurrection, and ascension. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They couldn't get themselves to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus healed this cripple, but they couldn't deny it either. So they didn't say not a word. They couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through men is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Why can't they deny it? Because the way the Holy Spirit orchestrated this whole scene to begin with, right, to proclaim the gospel, there were many people who were there and witnessed the fact, just like there are many nations who witnessed the fact that a man named Jesus died on the cross, who proclaimed to be God's only begotten Son, the Messiah. It wasn't done in some secret place. Again, we see that here as well. The signs of God is not done in some secret place. It's not done with a person one-on-one in a corner somewhere. There were many witnesses. In fact, 5,000 were saved because of it, as the Bible had mentioned in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, and followed after Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why it's not about a religion. It's not about a church. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And they couldn't deny the fact because there are many witnesses to this. So the Pharisees know that they can't sweep this under the rug. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, and here comes the boldness, because they were devoted to Jesus Christ, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard, because they're witnesses to the fact of Jesus Christ. So when they had further threatened, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God what had been done. You know, none of the people were glorifying Peter and John for this. They were glorifying God. And we see here that the Pharisees were actually well pleased with that. They were well pleased that the people saw this to be God's hand, okay, God's mercy and grace in hand in this man who was crippled at birth, who have healed him. Hallelujah. So it seems like the Pharisees were well pleased with that, so they didn't do anything else, right? And besides many witnesses, they couldn't sweep it under the rug. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. So when they, meaning the disciples of the original 120 that were mentioned in Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, when they heard about all that happened to Peter and John, therefore, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Now they're quoting the book of Psalms chapter 2, amen? For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do what your hand and your purpose determined beforehand to be done. Meaning this was God's will. They're proclaiming that Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension was God's will to begin with. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness.
That's the baptism of the fire of the Holy Spirit. According to John the Baptist, it says, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They're now being baptized in fire of the Holy Spirit, meaning the zeal of the Holy Spirit. And they're baptized with the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and zeal of God. Amen? The zeal of the Lord. Because as we keep reading on, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, meaning they were so unified. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, okay, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Yeah, with great power, with boldness, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit that demonstrated the power of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Let's read that real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and it says, and this is Paul speaking on the demonstration of the power of God, this anointing, this baptism that we can all have. But you got to ask the Father for it, okay? And it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Did not come with persuasive words or intellect of speech, but with a demonstration of the power of God. Amen. Why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay, verse 22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greek foolishness. But we will see in the book of Acts that the disciples and the apostles alike were not only preaching the gospel, but performing signs, wonders, and miracles, not by their own power, nor by their own authority, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay, why? Because the Holy Spirit was working through them all who were baptized in this fire, the Holy Spirit, to demonstrate the power of God. Any one of us can have that, but we have to seek and ask God, the Father, for it. Hallelujah. We got to seek and ask God for it. Amen? You know, if I'm not mistaken, and one of Jesus' teachings talks about, you know, ask the Father and he will give you the Holy Spirit. And I can't remember where it was at. Hold on. Yes, it's right here. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 9 through 13. And it says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give you a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Okay? Now, The funny thing about this is that in the book of Acts chapter 2, they weren't asking for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them automatically. Okay? But in Acts chapter 4, we see that they were asking for boldness, and they received this fire of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the words of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit comes from the same Holy Spirit. So that's what we see here. We see that in Acts chapter 2, it was automatic because Jesus promised the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live holy, to live right unto God, okay? To lead us into all truth, to help us to preach the gospel, amen? But we see here in Acts chapter 4 that they were asking. They were asking, and they received this anointing, this fire of the Holy Spirit, amen? Hallelujah. So there is two types of baptism of the Holy Spirit. You have, you know, the automatic, which is being born again, which they received. Okay, they received it in the fullness in Acts chapter 2, the born-again experience of the Holy Spirit. Because without that born-again experience, we cannot live this life in God by His Word. We cannot live this life without Him, without the Holy Spirit living in us, living holy and pleasing as a living sacrifice unto God, holy and pleasing to Him. We cannot live this sanctifying life without the Holy Spirit. We cannot preach without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything without that Holy Spirit. We cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. We cannot understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Amen? We cannot do what the Word of God says without the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is very important for us to have, and it's an automatic baptism when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to ask for the Holy Spirit for the anointing, for the power, for the demonstration of the power of God, meaning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to be active in us and through us and around us. Hallelujah. Because it's all by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what it's showing us here. And that's what they received in Acts chapter 4. And the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all of them. Now, was there anyone among them who lacked? For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, not because it was commanded, because they wanted to. They had a zeal for God. This was part of the baptism of fire of the Holy Spirit experience, having a zeal for God. You know, that they just want to, you know, provide for each other, amen? Because why? They understand that in order for ministry to proceed, the will of God proceeds, there has to be funds for that to proceed. Okay? It's not free for the Apostle Paul to go on a ship to another country by sea. And it would take too long to walk around it. Okay? It takes money to travel. It takes money to eat. And it takes money for the kingdom of God to progress forth. And so that's why they were selling their property and providing for each other. Hallelujah. So they don't have to worry about working too much, but focus on studying the Word of God and preaching the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Being a light in the world, salt of the earth. Hallelujah. And they loved each other so much that they just provided for one another. Amen? Of anyone who had need. It says here, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as one had need. Not want, but need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? while it remained, was it not with your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. See, and that's the price when you lie to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit still kills. In fact, let's go to Deuteronomy. This is a proven fact. Okay, this proves the point of Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting in verse 39. And it says, "Now see that I, even I, am He." This is God speaking. "And there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand. For I raise my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I whet or sharpen my glittering sword and my hand takes hold on it, on judgment, I will render vengeance to my enemies and repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh." This is literal. He's not talking figuratively here. He's talking and speaking literal judgment on people, meaning he kills in judgment, but he's merciful because he does also heal. Okay? He can kill and raise from the dead. Amen? And that is a fact. "And I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, with the blood of the slain and the captives, from the heads of the leaders of the enemies," which means that no one is exempt, not even the President of the United States, not even the Pope is exempt from this kind of judgment from God. Amen? "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his saints, and render vengeance to his adversaries, and he will provide atonement for his land and his people." Amen? Hallelujah. And so we see that as a glimpse right here, that the Holy Spirit still does that today. He kills, but he can heal, because the Holy Spirit is the very heart and essence of God the Father and God the Son. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he still does that today. And we see that in Acts chapter 5. Death is still the price to pay to lying to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now that's why we don't lie to God. We don't lie, period. We don't lie, period, because why? The Ten Commandments tells us in Exodus chapter 20, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Amen. In other words, thou shalt not lie. And if the Holy Spirit is living in you, then therefore you don't want to lie. You want to always speak the truth. And why? Because we're not supposed to be living a life of secrecy, secret sins. No. No, because that's the evidence of the lack of the Holy Spirit, you know, or the evidence that person who's living a secret life has never repented, has not fully turned to the living God. Okay? Because why? There's two reasons why we lie. Number one, because they're mental and you're not capable of telling the truth ever. Or number two, you're covering up something. And that's just it. That's the two. That's the only two reasons why people lie. That's it. There's no other reason. Because if you're living right unto God, there's no reason to lie. And besides that, if you do lie, that means you're a liar. Okay? And when you tell someone the truth about the gospel, they're not going to believe you. Because they sense something in their spirit that there's something wrong about you. And so they're not going to really listen to you. And the truth is not in you. That's what also John says. Yeah, it says right here in 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3, it says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk as Jesus has walked. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 16:24 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his work. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in us. Those who keep God's commandments. And it's also evidence that we truly love Jesus. Okay, according to John chapter 14, verse 15, says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The helper, the Holy Spirit, is to help us to live the commandments of God, to walk by them. Amen? In verse 23 of John chapter 14, it says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now back to Acts chapter 5. We see Ananias, who was killed by God, okay, because he lied. Now Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. You know, there were many witnesses who saw this fact. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Why? Because of fear of the Lord. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. The high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. The high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent
to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we have found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." And when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they said to them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name of Jesus? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago Thaddeus rose up, claimed to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him was scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. If this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And they had called for apostles and beaten them. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.